Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now,
could you please give us some good news on the show today? Some good news, because everything seems to be bad. And I said, you know, I was kind of thinking the same thing, but here's what I came up with for good news. Are you ready? We don't get into politics here on the RP Show. That's the good news. Homie, don't play that game. That's not what we do.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is, and we're live, everybody. Welcome to the RP Show, Canada's daytime sports talk show, coming to you on Game Plus Television Network and keeping it rolling as well, simulcast on Facebook Live. I'm your host, RP. He's the co-host, Darren Moose DuPont. Merry Christmas, Dupes.
Happy holidays.
Thank you. Look, I say it every day. I'm going to say it again. This is hour two of the program. We've been going for an hour already, but this is the first hour on Game Plus. And last hour, we delved deep into the early days of this program in terms of the way it went, right? When it was the wild, wild west.
Was it ever.
And stay tuned for that. And we've got one of our viewers, he appears new, right? Michael Hunter, he's firing off rapid questions for us. Just hold on to your bingo cards. Michael, I'll get to that. We're doing our thing here. So Andrew Hustler Patterson of TSN 1290 Winnipeg was with us last hour. Coming up this hour in block two, Julie Robenheimer. And I'm not totally sure of how to introduce her other than USA Hockey, elite prospects. But on the eve almost of the World Juniors, we'll get an American perspective. Cool?
That's great.
On that. And just a lot of things on the table today. But let's go to the quick six show topics, please. Jordan, Director Jordan. Number one, Monday Night Football last night. Our whole six topics could be on that football game. I hope you watched it. The Baltimore Ravens coming back to beat the Cleveland Browns last night, 47-42. Third highest scoring Monday Nighter ever. And from a pure sports angle on that, if you were watching in the last 2 to 3 minutes, the lead changed hands three times. Like, it was insane. And everybody was saying on Twitter, they've left too much time on the clock. They've scored with too much time left on the clock. And I thought, in my years in football, 20 of them in the CFL, plus the Prairie Football Conference, I know enough to know that you can't score on schedule. It would be nice to score on this down with this play and leave this much time. It doesn't work that way. So I reached out to a Canadian football head coach, and I said, what's your take on that concept of scoring and leaving too much time left on the clock? And he said, there are two schools of thought. He said, Gary Echeverry long talked about the victory offense, where you're going down the field, you got to have confidence that you can pull this off. But by a variance of rushing plays and correctly selected passing plays, you could do it and designate the amount of time left on the clock when you score. He said, my school of thought is score when you can and play defense and win the game. Wouldn't that seem more?
It would, but it comes back down to what would you rather have, right? Would you rather, you've got one shot here to win the game, and it's going to be a play, but if you miss, you're going to lose. Or would you rather tie it, hope your defense, or do what you got to do, hope your defense stands true. It's the same thing when you come down by 7 points, right? You got a choice, tie the game and take your chances in overtime, or go for two, win or lose the game in that moment. It's all about what you think is best for your group. And that's where analytics plays a factor, but you have to make the decision based on your group, and it's about confidence. And there's no analytic for confidence.
No, not at all. But it's a fascinating debate, and it was a great game. Point two, Monday was a really big news day in the CFL. The Saskatchewan Roughriders announced contract extensions for their general manager, Jeremy O'Day, and their head coach, Craig Dickinson, for 2 more years. Plus, they announced the entire coaching staff. Unfortunately, they trimmed Tim Princeton, who was, I believe, the running backs coach from last year's staff. And what I'm told, he's a casualty of the coaching salary cap, and that is most unfortunate for Tim. And for everybody involved with the CFL, because that's where they're at. But the BC Lions announced they've re-signed Dominic Rimes. The Montreal Alouettes announced they've signed star running back William Standback. The Argonauts made an announcement of three American players they'd sign. The Ottawa Redblacks made an announcement. And it was almost like it was a concerted effort by the league saying, guys, announce whatever you can on Monday, December the 14th. It really got people positive. And as I've said, I'm just going to go with the flow here and stay positive with our hockey leagues, the CFL, whatever, that there's going to be a season in 2021. But I'm not convinced. I personally fear the light at the end of the tunnel is a train. Not that you're going to get flattened, but simply that you're not going to be allowed the crowds that you hope that you can. But I'm going to stay positive. Point three, NBA preseason. It's on. Kudos to the NBA for pulling this off, and they're not in bubbles. The bubble is America. Right? But they're not in bubbles, and the Raptors won in Charlotte for a second consecutive game, 112-109. First-round pick Malachi Flynn was the best Raptor. Do you think our closed captioner, Jeff, has figured out how to spell Malachi Flynn yet?
If he hasn't, he's going to learn pretty quickly.
Jeff, the closed captioner. Malachi Flynn, Malachi Flynn, Malachi Flynn. And then Fred VanVleet showed up and just took over. And the Raptors won, and they're 2-0 in the preseason. And the question is, how much stock do you put in preseason games? The correct answer should be zero, but individual performances you could put in a lot. They got a great pick in Malachi Flynn.
Do you think Jeff stays up at night wondering how you're going to mess with them the next day? Do you think it keeps him up at night?
Probably. But who's Kawhi Leonard? Who's Serge Ibaka? Who are these guys that left? We got Masai Ujiri. That's all that matters.
That's right.
I'm all in on the NBA. Point four, the Cleveland Indians announced Sunday night that they're changing their team name. And then they announced on Monday, not until 2022 are they changing said name. And now they're getting blasted for that. Saying, if you're going to change it, why wait a year? And I think we all agree that it is kind of silly. Did you make a prediction on how they're going to, like, will they get to 2021 season as the Indians?
They shouldn't.
Yeah.
They shouldn't. Not if the reasons are pure and because you feel it's offensive and you don't want to, and you want to move on from that, then absolutely it won't get to through the year. But to go a year with it, it just tells me that you're trying to sell off the rest of your merchandise. You don't really care if you offend more people throughout the year, and you're almost trying to celebrate the name for one more year. And I don't know how much, you know, you want to celebrate that if you're trying to move on from it. If you're going to move on from it, you know, it's time to cut the cord, right?
From a viewer, from Thunder strength and conditioning and nutrition coach Jacques Delorme writes in. He says, I agree with you. At best, the CFL will have partial crowds like what you see in the NFL now. A vaccine will not be in everyone's hands that quick, will it? I don't know. I don't know who to believe. And as I mentioned last hour, I'll say it again. In a conference call I was on this morning, they're predicting in America no crowds of above 500 until July 2022. So I said we'd stick to good news, right? Didn't the intro say that?
Yeah.
So point five, Alberta's top doctor, Dr. Dina Hinshaw, green-lighted the World Junior Hockey Championship on Monday. And she's facing a backlash. But guess what? All strong leaders do. And she said, there's no threat to the public health by holding this tournament, so play on, boys. It created a bigger debate in hour one than I expected that it would, because there are hockey and sports fans that don't think this is a good idea. I don't know what more you need to hear than the top doctor saying this doesn't pose a health threat to the public, so go ahead and play. But again, here's a strong leader that's made a potentially unpopular decision, and she's sticking to it. I call that lady balls. So from this show to you, Dina, congratulations on the announcement, and we back her. Any thought on that before I move on?
No, you said it well.
Point six. The ECHL, from what I can understand, is the lone league playing right now on this continent. If I'm wrong, somebody please tell me. It's the former East Coast Hockey League, but now they prefer to just go by the ECHL. If you are missing live hockey and you want to follow hockey, go to echl.com. We've adopted a team. It's the South Carolina Stingrays for a couple of reasons. Chief among them, the assistant coach Brendan Kotick was on our show last week, and he hails from the sweatpants capital here. Secondly, the Game Plus airs all through South Carolina. We get all kinds of viewer mail from there, email. So why not? The Stingrays are our team. And I envision a day that we go down to Charleston, South Carolina, Dupes and I, and any of this crew that wants to go, and we drop a puck at a game. It's RP show night, and we have offered up our mascot, Ricky the Iguana, to fight theirs in a fight to the death at center ice. And Alan the intern, who wears the mascot costume, is in.
Yeah, you saw him right in.
Alan's in. We are offering him up. So I'm just saying, if you're looking for hockey, there's live hockey. The ECHL is doing it. Let's go.
Yeah, why not, right? Let's get into it. And maybe we got to put a standings board and team logos all over the studio, like we did with Korean baseball.
Let's do it. Somebody was asking last hour, by the way, who won the Korean Baseball Organization League Championship last year. It was the who? The Dinos? The NC Dinos. They posted a wire-to-wire finish. We were following that all summer. You know, when we said, how did we fill airtime for 4 months without sports? It reminded me, the Korean Baseball Organization was playing. They never missed a beat. My team, the Wyverns, finished second last. Darren's team finished last. The Eagles, sorry to remind you.
Real Korean baseball insiders.
And the Blue Jays signed a star from the KBO. What was his name, Clark? Tyler White, first baseman. Didn't sign the big donger, Dongmin Han, who was leading the KBO in home runs all summer long till he broke his fibula. But they did sign Tyler White from that very same team. So we're on it. We're all over it.
Doesn't sound Korean.
Tyler White?
Yeah.
There's a lot of non-Koreans playing in the league. You did your research.
No, for sure.
You know that.
For sure. Totally. But when Clark came out of the room saying, the Jays just signed somebody from the Wyverns, and I'm thinking it was going to be like the big donger or somebody, one of these, you know, characters that were, you know, lifelong Korean baseball stars that maybe the Jays signed. What?
The closed captioner at Game Plus is watching and says, Jeff's not in today.
Oh.
He says, no Jeff today, but I can answer that pronunciation has aged him 3 years in 3 weeks. Malachi Flynn, well done. Those are the quick six show topics. And I'll say it again. We're offering up our mascot, Ricky the Iguana, to fight the Stingray's mascot, which I can only imagine is a stingray. And my money's on Ricky.
Yeah. Fair? Well, my money would be on Ricky, too. For sure.
We have the toughest mascot in sports.
He is feisty. It's almost like he just becomes a different guy when he puts on the costume.
He is a different guy. I might spend some time in that mascot costume, too. But for now, it's Alan the intern, the Asian sensation, and he's the toughest mascot in sports. That's the quick six show topics here in the warm-up, which is proudly presented by the Four Seasons Sports Palace. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons. You're home for the NFL. But there are some other topics that we are tackling today. I had a meeting late yesterday afternoon, and I was killing some time. Darren, since the inception of this show, has been asking me to buy some makeup and wear it on the show. And I've never worn makeup in my life, save for a stage presentation I did as a youngster and a summer theater project that my mom forced me to go in. Other than that, never worn makeup. But I went in. Do you have her photo, Clark Handy? I'm sure you do. I went into Shoppers Drug Mart. This nice young cosmetologist, Bailey, I showed her a clip of my show, and I said, I host a TV show. I need makeup. I've been told to get makeup for the show. She seemed extremely puzzled. She said, are you dressing in drag? And I said, no. Had to think about it for a while. And it took a lot longer than I thought to figure this out. It went from, how much do you want to spend? Do you want a brush? Do you want a sponge? What color do you want? Do you want powder? Do you want cream?
It's like somebody speaking Japanese to you, right? Don't know what any of this stuff is.
Pretty much. So it spawned quite a segment last hour with regards to me dressing in drag, which I've never done. But I don't have anything against it. I've just never done it. Where did it spin off to last hour, by the way?
I smell a Halloween costume, by the way. Wouldn't that be a wonderful Halloween special?
Well, the comments, by the way, came from a lot of former football players, some hockey players. I put it on my Instagram, and they said, do it! Some people are saying, I smell a great New Year's Eve special. And listen, being around sports for as long as I have, 20 seasons in the Canadian Football League, 17 seasons in the Western Hockey League, you know how many times I've seen guys prancing around the dressing room like Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs? Remember? Yeah. I've seen it. And I'm not in a rush to do it, but I did put on the makeup that she sold me yesterday, and I can't even tell. Can you? Can you? You're the one that asked me to put it on.
You look great. That's all I know. It's good.
Well, you get incredibly uncomfortable when we talk about this. Why?
No, I mean, do I know if it works or not? You look at me like I'm supposed to be the makeup expert here just because, you know, in television, I've learned to put it on.
Well, you know more than me. That makes
that
you
is true.
An expert.
In this room, I guess I am the resident expert for sure.
One more from viewer Todd Pinckney. He says, we know what Rod's wearing for the lighting of the Christmas tree tomorrow. Let's end on that before we bring in Julie from the States to talk hockey. The lighting of the tree. They had it at the Rockefeller Center a couple of weeks ago on NBC. Our lighting of the tree will be Thursday here on Game Plus Television Network, right? Are we throwing in the Christmas carols and everything else?
I think so. We're still working with one last artist to make sure that they're going to be able to join us for the Christmas special.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll have that on our Twitter and Facebook and Instagram feeds soon.
Mandy in Edmonton's watching. She says, I can't tell a difference, to be honest. When I met a newscaster in person before, though, I could see his makeup. That's my point. I don't want it to be noticeable.
Yeah.
And I'm a little disturbed that Monty in Saskatoon is writing in and says, do, Rod, please. Why do you want to see me in women's clothes so much, Monty? It's concerning me. We'll be back. It's Canada's daytime sports talk show. You're watching on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and Listen Live, presented by Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of The Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Tuesday, December 15th. Canada's daytime sports talk show continues, coming to you from the bunker out here in Western Canada. It's exciting news for hockey fans. On Monday, Alberta's top medical doctor, Dr. Dina Dinshaw, green-lighted the World Juniors. She's getting a little backlash, but the show will go on. And while we feel Canada is a favorite, Julie Robenheimer is joining us from the States, from Elite Hockey Prospects and from USA Hockey. And she's been covering USA Hockey for quite some time. And we appreciate her coming on with the opportunity to chat stick and puck. How you doing, Julie?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're good. We're good. We lost you for a second, but we got you now. Hey, you know, okay, you've been around this tournament a long time. You know how Canada feels going into it, that they're always the favorites. But we were just going over the American roster here. They might actually be the favorite. You know, what's your preview of this tournament going in from an American perspective?
Well, yes, I think the United States has a really good team, but I think if you're looking for a favorite, I think I'm going with Russia.
Fair enough. TSN's Greg Button has predicted a Canada-Russia final, by the way, so I get that. But I've been reading up on the American team. John Van Beesbrouck is the general manager, and it seems like it hasn't been the easiest road even to get here from the health and safety, the protocol standpoint. Julie, I mean, you're covering them. What's this road to the World Juniors been like for Team USA?
Well, it was actually pretty smooth sailing heading into, I'd say maybe 10 days ago. There was a a positive test at BU. And unfortunately, that meant that the BU players that were supposed to come, there were three that were supposed to attend selection camp, were not able to attend because of exposure. But it was a false positive, and there's no room in the protocols for any kind of false positive. And that's the same thing that happened at the end of their camp. Thomas Bordalo, John Beecher, a false positive eliminated them from the tournament as well. So it's the challenge with these rapid testings. If you're negative, you're negative. But if you're positive, you are supposed to have another test of a different kind that will tell you whether you are actually positive or if it was a false positive. And in both cases, they were false positives. And it's unfortunate for these players. And it's unfortunate for Team USA that they aren't going to have the best players available to them, because all of the players that were tested as positive are not. So that's the tough part for Team USA. The good news is that with the depth that the United States has, they are easily able to recover from that. And that's what they're trying to do moving forward with their roster. Losing Bordalo and Beecher was really difficult because they were their second and third line centers. So they have to, on the fly, quickly replace them. They only had one practice before they came to Edmonton to kind of sort that out. And now they've got 4 days of, we'll call it recovery, active recovery, not exactly rest, before they can get back on the ice again and really fine tune those lines.
Sounds not totally dissimilar with what Canada was through. They had a few players test positive, as you know, in Red Deer at the tournament, and then they made their cuts and they move on. There's one player that I'm particularly interested in on the American roster, and his name is Dustin Wolf, goalie from the Everett Silvertips, Flames prospect. He's been on this show, and I'm particularly fond of him. I have a fondness for goalies. Do you know what the expectation is for Dustin at this tournament in terms of sharing the crease, or what kind of role he'll be expected to perform for the Americans?
Well, the good news is that this goalie tandem for the United States, I think, is the strongest in the tournament. I think Yaroslav Askarov is the strongest goalie. But as potential 1-2 punch, if necessary, the United States, in my opinion, has it on lockdown between Spencer Knight, who's arguably the best American college goalie, and Dustin Wolf, who was CHL goalie of the year last year. So obviously great options between the pipes. The challenge for Dustin is that he has not been playing, whereas Spencer has been playing for Boston College and has been playing exceptionally well, like even better than our standard for Spencer Knight is. So as far as Dustin, in terms of earning playing time, I think he needs to earn it and have an opportunity, a window of opportunity open up for him, because I think Spencer Knight has this net. But I know in talking to the coaches that they're still very excited with what Dustin brings. And if he needs to be called upon, they know that he'll be able to step right in and get the job done.
Great answer. Thank you for the insight, by the way. And you know, the last time the World Juniors were in Edmonton, I was calling the games for Canada. I recall meeting you there. Are you in Edmonton? Will you be going to Edmonton, or because of the bubble, you'll be forced to watch on television?
Yeah, most media will be forced to watch on television. In fact, they are only allowing Canadians, residents of Canada, to be at the World Junior Tournament on site. And furthermore than that, they are only allowing 30 photographers and media to be present in the building. So that pretty much limits it to rights holders and maybe immediate local Edmonton media. But very, very tight this year. But at the same time, it's much like the NHL bubble. Access doesn't really give you anything other than to be in the room where it happens. And all of the media availability and the press conferences and the interviews will be done either phone or video conference.
Julie, our program airs on cable TV in Philadelphia on Game Plus TV. We got a lot of Flyers fans that watch. And Todd writes in, says, Bobby Brink and Cam York, top Flyers prospects with Team USA. Can you speak about those players?
Sure. Cam York is going to be the backbone of their blue line. It just in seeing how he's been playing for Michigan so far this year, he's just really grown. I mean, physically grown, gotten bigger and gotten stronger, which only makes him an even better player. But mentally, and his clarity and his approach to the game and how he wants to be a leader and impact the game in more ways than one, in just having the puck on his stick. So he's become a more well-rounded player and will have a big impact on Team USA's blue line. He'll be driving the play on the power play as well, and I'm sure be getting some PK minutes. So he'll be a big, important part for Team USA. In terms of Bobby Brink, he is another guy who's big and skilled and has a lot to offer. He's in the mix for the bottom six on this team. They're pretty stacked in the top six, but there's a lot of fluidity in kind of how that bottom six is going to play out. They have a lot of guys, I think nine guys that they're considering in that mix with the extra players that they have. So he's going to be a big role in that, and I anticipate he will be a big part in the penalty kill as well.
Thanks, Julie. And by the way, the fans have just come alive with specific questions here. I'm going to throw a few at you. Obviously, you can handle it. Yeah. Pat in Saskatoon says, is Montreal prospect Cole Caulfield going to be the best player in this tournament because he's played games already?
I don't know that he'll be the best player in this tournament, but he'll be in the mix. I think that he himself has a lot of expectations. I know he was very disappointed in his personal performance last year, and especially in the way that things ended for Team USA, losing by a 1-0 score to a team they absolutely dominated, but an unfortunate power play goal. Well, fortunate for Finland, unfortunate for the United States, kicked the U.S. out of the tournament. Cole carried a lot of that burden, thinking that he could have done more offensively and could have produced more offensively. So I feel that that's going to be like a burning desire for him. The challenge is going to be maintaining that, you know, in balancing, trying not to do too much to put yourself in bad spots. So that will be Cole's challenge. But he's played so well for Wisconsin this year. In the beginning of the year, he was getting a lot of assists and goals weren't going in, and then the floodgates opened. So I know the powers that be at Team USA are hoping that the floodgates stay open throughout this tournament.
Colin in Ottawa says, all Sens fans want to know if Jake Sanderson will be the best defenseman in the tournament.
I'm going to put out a disclaimer that I am a huge Jake Sanderson fan. I have been singing his praises since last November when I saw him at the Five Nations Cup in Sundsvall, Sweden. And I just feel like he is so well-rounded and is such a strong defender, and in such a way that you really don't notice him. He is so stealthy, and a lot of that is due to his skating, but he's so smart. He makes great first passes. You know, he is just an all-around great defenseman. He's got size. He's not afraid to use it. There is just so much to like about Jake Sanderson's game. And I think that this tournament will be a big coming out party for him. I think it would have been at the U18s had that tournament happened. Better late than never.
Last one I think I have for you, Julie, is with the absence of the NHL at the moment, do you expect there'll be more interest in America with games on NHL Network because there's no NHL being played at this time?
Well, the games are have been on NHL Network for the past several years, I think since 2014. So it is an annual tradition here. I know Canadians think it's for them. It is. Even the success of the tournament in European countries is very well documented. And for American fans, I think it's more just an opportunity to have eyeballs. There's obviously a lot of competition normally for our eyeballs with other sports, particularly the NBA and football, and then college football in the bowl season. So there's just a lot going on in the United States that is pulling attention away. So I don't think it's necessarily just with the NHL not being around right now, but all of the other sporting activities that detract eyeballs from an event like this. So I'm excited to see what happens. But of course, it's only as good as the teams on the ice and giving us a good show and giving us something that we want to watch.
Well, I expect it will be like the Stanley Cup playoffs where the hockey was excellent. I think the hockey will be excellent here. Remains to be seen what that atmosphere is like. Of course, you've been there. I've been there. It's a lot of fun. But, Julie, I appreciate your knowledge as always. It's great seeing you again. Enjoy the tournament, and maybe we can bring you on in the middle of it or after for a wrap, something like that. But stay safe and Merry Christmas, and I appreciate the time.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, you betcha. Joining us from the United States, Julie Robenheimer. And I forgot to ask if she's in New Jersey, but I believe she's in New Jersey, right? And the girl knows her stuff. She's nodding. She's still watching. They're telling us that she's in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah, very smart. And, clearly. And, it gives us that opportunity to get inside the mindset of one of Canada's biggest rivals. We all talk about Russia, but, Team USA, it's a big part of this tournament. Now with our American audience on this show, I think that's great. And when we move into the NHL season, getting that kind of feel from that area, right, whether it's New Jersey or the New York area, Pittsburgh, Philly, right? It's cool to go down to that part of the world because it's just like Minnesota's pretty big. That's another big kind of hockey area, a little pocket in the United States.
They love their hockey down there. We're excited about the tournament, and I can't stress it enough. On Monday, Alberta's top medical doctor, Dr. Dina Hinshaw, has green-lighted the World Junior Hockey Championships. It's big news, and the more that I think about it, the more I delve into that story, the more I read, and I see the heat she's taken for that decision. I mean, I admire it even more that she stood there and did it. But let's also be honest, the NHL did lay down the template. They blazed the trail. I don't think it should be discounted that the NHL was able to pull that off in Canada, Darren, for the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Oh, yeah. And anybody, any bubble that follows in the country, they should be, kind of be on their knees praising the National Hockey League. They laid the groundwork. They did it safe. And you understand, when you have a controlled environment, we can do a lot of great things, but that controlled environment costs money, and it takes a lot of work and diligence, and everybody has to be buying into it. And hey, the NHL did it. Let's see if the World Juniors can have the same success.
We're going to pause. We're going to get to the Prairie Mobile text line. Some funny messages have come in from our viewers, as you can well imagine, our drag queen comments earlier. Sports update ahead. And viewer takeover and the face-off. What are we going to face off about? We better figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
We'll update the poll results, too. It's the RP Show. You are watching across North America in 1.3 million homes on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You got to subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Laid back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. I often say, who calls me while I'm on the air? Wouldn't you think they'd know?
I know, right?
My wife says, not everybody knows you're on the air, Rod. It's from Fredericksburg, Virginia.
And if they don't know me, why are they calling me?
Exactly. Should know better. Text me. Do you know anybody in Fredericksburg, Virginia?
No, but maybe they get Game Plus.
That's my guess. But they left a message. I'll listen to it later.
All right.
I'm checking the poll results here for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. The poll question today is, which Eastern Canadian NHL team will finish the highest? The Montreal Canadiens, the Toronto Maple Leafs, or the Ottawa Senators? The gap is closing, dupes. The Leafs still lead. What's it saying in front of you there?
64% to 30 for the Canadians.
64% of Facebook viewers, 53% of Twitter viewers. But the Leafs are leading. The team that lost to a Zamboni driver last year. You'd prefer we don't bring that up.
I was cheering for the Zamboni driver. Is that bad?
Yeah.
What a wonderful moment that was, though. And
David Ayers?
We had him on the show, right?
Were you with me at Wendell Clark's when that
Clark,
day?
That's got to be clipped.
David Ayers?
Yeah, that was cool. I was not...
Clark said he deleted it.
That was not in our... I was not there with you at Wendell Clark's with him.
That was awesome.
Yeah, very cool.
His wife, Amy, correct? I believe.
Sounds right.
I gotta look it up. That was a fun day Sarah. Thanks, Clark. He's all over it, eh, Mr. Leaf? That was a fun day. She does all the talking in that household.
She's pretty loud on Twitter, too. She was like the whole
she
thing.
She does all the talking. Sports update. The Boston Red Sox have signed outfielder Hunter Renfroe to a one-year deal for $3.1 million. A first-round pick by the Padres in 2013, Renfroe batted .228 with 97 home runs and 226 RBIs over five seasons with San Diego and Tampa Bay. He homered twice in this year's postseason, including a drive in the World Series, and drove in seven runs. He went 4-for-23 and struck out 11 times. In three games at Fenway Park over his career, he is 4-for-11 with two homers and five RBIs. Again, Hunter Renfroe, now a Boston Red Sox. Last night, Lamar Jackson emerged from the locker room, saved the game, and maybe Baltimore's season. Back on the field after being sidelined by cramps, Lamar threw a 44-yard touchdown pass, then set up Justin Tucker's 55-yard field goal with 2 seconds to go to win the game, helping the Ravens to a 47-42 victory over the Cleveland Browns. Remind me to come back on the Lamar Jackson thing. Okay. And clearly you want to, too, because you got your finger in the air.
Yeah.
Fred VanVleet scored 23 points as the Raptors completed their two-game sweep, a preseason sweep of the Hornets in Charlotte with a 112-109 victory last night. Toronto has one more preseason game to go when they host the Miami Heat in Tampa later this week. Battle of Florida, Raptors Heat. Houston Rockets coach Steven Silas says James Harden will make his preseason debut tonight against the San Antonio Spurs. They found him. Harden missed Houston's first two preseason games as he went through the NBA's COVID-19 testing protocols. Questions about whether the superstar wants to be in Houston continue as talk swirls that he wants out. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Drive-Thru Liquor Store, corner of Rochdale and Pasqua. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars, now with 8 amazing flavors, including the new Almond Mocha. New shipment arrived yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RPSHOW. Get yours now at g2gbars.ca.
I've heard they want James Harden to take the vaccine so they can chip him, and then they'll be able to know where he is at all times.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. I got an email here on the Lamar Jackson thing.
Yeah.
It's somewhat funny, and I think we can joke about it now because the Ravens won. And Lamar Jackson looks like he's going to live.
Yeah.
But you saw him running down the hallway. He left the field and he was running to the Ravens locker room. And it was that penguin run, like he might as well have his hand on the seat of his pants. I've seen a lot of guys with cramps. They don't run like that. But I've seen a lot of guys have to get to the bathroom. And they run just like that. So, hang on. I got a news release here from a PR firm in the States. Hey, last night's Monday night football game between the Ravens and Browns was full of heroics. In the middle of the game, Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson was pictured running to the locker room to tend to an emergency that he later chalked up to cramps. Tushy, a modern bidet company that cleans your butt clean, is offering Lamar and his teammates free bidets. Maybe the Ravens staff can install them in the locker room for future emergencies? So I got a news release from Tushy, and they're offering free bidets to the Baltimore Ravens.
You got a cramp, you're usually not running anywhere. You're usually resting. Right. I don't know what's in the locker room. Like, the Gatorade, the stretching, that's all on the sidelines, right? Like you can work out that cramp on the sidelines.
Just say you had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. There's not a medication, like a pill you pop for cramps, is there? Almonds, maybe. Maybe the almonds. That's what it was. The almonds, right? We're in the locker room.
I frankly use Gatorade or Powerade, or I might have to try BioSteel. Mm. But when I'm getting a dehydration headache or cramps, I crush some Powerade or Gatorade. Usually does the trick.
Right.
Not running down the hallway like a penguin. Todd Pinkney writes in, viewer says, cramps. Known most of bubbly stomach, or as I call it, bubble guts. Viewer Timothy Dick, as we start viewer takeover early, says, stomach cramp, buddy. but he wasn't holding his gut, that I recall, as he was running down the hallway. And I entered, listen, it, serious situation for him, but he didn't run back out right onto the field because the backup, Trace McSorley, got hurt.
Yeah.
Trace McSorley, and Lamar just promptly throws a boop, 48-yard touchdown. Unbelievable. Ray in Toronto is watching from the 416. He says, hey, Rod, regarding your makeup situation, it could be worse. You could have Donald Trump's makeup artist. The orange demon. For those that missed it, I went into a Shopper's Drug Mart yesterday at Darren's behest. For over a year, he's been asking me to purchase makeup to wear on the program to reduce the glare of the lights off my gleaming white forehead. And the girl was very confused. And she said, are you going to be dressing in drag? That seemed like a fairly straightforward question. I host a TV show. I need makeup.
I would assume, though, she asked the question, there would be a completely different, you know, set of products she would probably all be looking. Okay, so you're not looking for all of X, Y, and Z. You just need this.
Yeah.
You know, she was wondering what kind of work she was getting into. Like, if we're going to put you in drag, I'm going to need the team here try and make this work.
Jim Wagner writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line at 840-8777. He says, wow, I tuned in at an awkward time. Makeup talk? You really are the view for sports. Have a great day, y'all. That's from Jim. As I said all along, we are the view for sports fans. Daytime talk. I am the Whoopi Goldberg of sports talk. And I will just say this. I went to the Rocky Horror Picture Show. You know that, right? You saw it on my Instagram story not that long ago. In pandemic times, I didn't realize there was going to be a whole lot of guys dressed in drag. I knew nothing about the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and I quite enjoyed it. But there were some dudes that looked like linebackers in black leather dresses, strutting their stuff.
Oh, yeah. I believe it. I've seen that.
Yeah, it was a great show.
Oh, for sure.
Regarding the team name from the 204, whoa, this is nice. Somebody watching on Bell MTS Cable in Winnipeg or in Manitoba from the 204. Cleveland Spiders. What do you think? He did the logo. Or she. I'm not sure. I should give this to Clark.
Yeah.
Listen, we'll take a break and come back with the full viewer takeover.
And the photo.
See that? It's Whoa! Like the, I know. It's Whoa. Nice. It's nice.
Whoa.
I got to send this to Clark. You're good with this.
Yep.
It was sending it. I haven't figured this phone out yet. Nice hands. It's from an Android phone.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be back with viewer takeover plus the face-off. Hang on. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. RP here and Moose DuPont. And we got a long ways to go and a short time to get there. We are going to face off. And you're not going to believe what we're facing off about. Just hang on. But I said the viewer in Manitoba was watching and said the Cleveland Spiders for the name. And I did not know the historical significance of the Spiders. Two of our viewers writing in, Gary in Winnipeg, says, I heard about the Spiders' name this morning on CNN. They mentioned it was used by Cleveland years ago. And from viewer Pinks, he says, the Cleveland Spiders were an American professional team from 1887 to 1899 in the now defunct American Association. And I'm assuming that's baseball, and that's the artwork that came in from the viewer from Manitoba. So if you did that, hats off to you. They found it.
I Googled it. It's everywhere. that logo.
So they're going to be called the Spiders?
No, it's just from the old logos and stuff. So it's on cleveland.com. There's other ones here where they've got, you can see the sea with the web in it. Like, that looks pretty neat.
Very spooky.
I don't know if you can see that, but, like, that looks pretty cool. There's some different options here.
Well, it's that thing that Farhan brought up yesterday. Do you want to go old, 100 years ago, or do you want to go new, like the Seattle Kraken? Don't know. A lot of guys and girls making a lot of money to make these calls. But anyways, thank you, Manitoba, for sending that to us. Much love.
Yeah.
On the face-off for the Mad Greek restaurant and for Ultimate Fan Zone, it's a simple one, man. I got two phones. Got my personal phone. It's an Apple iPhone. I've got this phone. It's an Android phone. And there's nothing wrong with the Android phone. It's going to take me days to figure out how to work it. I'm an Apple guy, and I quite like how I have an iPad and a MacBook and an iPhone, and everything works real nice. And I sign in, and there's one account for all these things. I'm an Apple guy. I will always be an Apple guy. And you're not. You're taking a bite out of me.
Yeah,
as an
I'm
Apple
taking
guy.
A bite out of you. I'm an Android guy, but I'm a Google guy. I mean, our whole infrastructure is just, it's easy with Google, but they all work the same. But I like the Android phone. I think there's a lot more customization to it, a lot more ability to do a few cool things. That Android phone sucks, though. That one sucks. I don't know why. I think is it LG? I don't know.
I don't know.
But the funny things, the problems you're having with it, I see the same problems. I don't have them with my phone. But with my Android, I have a Google phone. It works really well.
Like most things, it's operator error. You know, if I was to take this home and play with it, I guess I could figure it out. But with an Apple phone, you're right in. You know what I mean? You get the upgrade, the newest phone, and no problems.
Yeah, right. And the functionality is the same no matter which Apple iPhone you have, and you've been into it. Transferring, if you came to an Android, it'd take you a few weeks. If you went from Android to Apple, it'd take you a couple of weeks to get onto it. But that's funny. You're an Apple guy, and I'm an Android guy.
Robin in Prince Albert says, iPhone all the way. What a great face-off. We should make it a poll. But I will say this about Prairie Mobile, by the way. There's like dozens of locations across this province. They've got two-way radio locations in Alberta, and they're headquartered in Winnipeg. They called me in with my BlackBerry years ago, and they said, Rod, you need to give this up. And I'm like, no! No! You have to pry this out of my cold, dead hands. And they're like, no, 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 you have to, Rod, because the BlackBerry is going bye-bye. It's going the way of the dodo.
You know.
And they were right. That's service.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll get you set up in an Android, too, if you want. They serve. That's where this one came from.
Absolutely. They're both great. It's a preference.
Right? Yeah.
That's exactly what
But I guess if you're going to get a new phone, you're going to Prairie Mobile, right? And then you're getting an Apple iPhone.
I'll give you
we haven't won on this.
No.
Are we supposed to declare a winner?
I don't think there is a winner. I'll give you the last word.
Here come all the viewers, Wayne and Victoria. You need a Samsung phone. It's the best Android. No, Paul says no. Paul's an Apple guy. He's a big thinker. John in Kansas City. Great show, guys. BlackBerry, rest in peace. I love that thing.
I know. I'm waiting for BlackBerry to come back out with the phone, like a retro thing that runs all the new stuff.
Armando Moreno says it's always a lot of fun to make apps for both, by the way. I wouldn't know. Jamie in Halifax says, I bet Frenzy's still using a flip phone. Well, of course he is. You know that he is.
Oh, yeah.
Your dad just started texting. What kind of phone's your dad got?
He's got an iPhone. Mom and dad have iPhones.
Okay. 1 minute to go, and we're going to shut her down. I'm just going to say this for the Mad Greek restaurant. I love that place. Actually, I'm going to Moose Jaw Saturday.
Hey, cool.
For the best authentic Greek cuisine available for licensed dining, takeout, or delivery, head to themadgreekeatery.com for more information. And for Ultimate Fan Zone, home of the home teams, jerseys, caps, and team apparel, they are your officially licensed fan store in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. Open, of course, for business. They've got all kinds of team apparel. I just said it. Head over there and see them. Coming up tomorrow, Kirk Myers joining us from Team Dunstone in studio. And Alan Ford, former general manager of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, scout for the Montreal Alouettes, Hall of Famer Alan Ford, talking CFL football tomorrow. That's it. Thanks, Dupes.
Thank you.
Thanks to Julie Robenheimer and Hustler, and we'll see you tomorrow here on Game Plus. You screwed up, Clark!
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.